Hello, and welcome to the Safety Net Pulse, America's Essential Hospital's brand new podcast. I'm James Swan, Director of Communications at AEH, and today I'm very excited to be joined by America's Essential Hospital's President and CEO, Jennifer DeCubellis. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, James. I'm excited to be here and have the conversation today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And this is a brand new podcast, brand new season, and this year we'll be taking a look at all the issues affecting essential hospitals and the patients and communities they serve. So with this being a new podcast and a new season, I want to start out with a little bit of an icebreaker, just so we can kind of have a little personal feel as opposed to just digging right into the policy issues that are very important as well. So music is important to many, many people, a lot of people it resonates with. And the icebreaker question I'd like to ask you is, what's your first concert? If you can give us a little backstory on that and how important it was to you.
Great question, James. Let me give that some thought. So concert, probably my favorite concert was my very first concert as a teenager. I had the opportunity to go downtown Minneapolis, which was always a big deal when you're 13, 14 years old. And I got to see at First Avenue Prince. And Wow. It was before Prince was a big deal. So yeah, the wow, like looking back, Wow. it was a big deal. We heard Purple Rain. We saw the purple lights. At that point, it was a song that really had the crowd going and had everybody excited. But we didn't know how big he as an artist was going to be. And so it was my first taste of being a little bit older and feeling like I was important enough to go to downtown Minneapolis mm-hmm. and enjoy a concert. And he really did light up the place. So it was a pretty incredible concert.
That's incredible. And especially with Purple Rain being back in the charts now, that kind of is a full circle moment. Now it's Purple Rain is just as popular as it was however many years ago it was.
Absolutely. And if you know First Avenue, it's a very cozy environment, so a great place to have your first concert experience wow. with a great artist.
That's a legendary story. That's very, very fun to hear. So before we get into some of the policy issues and some of the challenges and opportunities facing essential hospitals, I was hoping you could take us through your healthcare journey and how you ended up where you are now.
Absolutely, James. So probably a less traditional trajectory. I mentor a lot of young people who are looking to get into healthcare, and they say, what's the one path you should take? Mm-hmm. And I go, there isn't one. But I followed my passions since I was in high school. One of my very first jobs was just very mission-focused and always wanting to help people who were less fortunate than myself, the underserved. At the time, I didn't have that language for it. But in high school, I taught myself sign language. So I Wow. could teach children with Down syndrome how to speak. And for me, it was just a really important way to help them engage in a world that otherwise had barriers in front of them. I went on to college to become a special education teacher, working specifically with kids with emotional and behavior disorders. Again, I taught in an alternative school in Chicago right out of undergrad. And it was young people age 8 to 21 who had been kicked out of the Chicago public schools and we're in an alternative environment. And for me, it was about how do I help them get the education that we all know is important, but they had a lot of barriers in front of them. I worked further in Chicago. I went and got my master's in clinical psychology, worked on deinstitutionalization for adults with chronic mental illness, severe and persistent, and really worked with how do we give them a community environment that is safe and honors the dignity and respect that we want people to live with. So all of those got me a little bit closer into health and human services. And when I moved to Minnesota, I jumped into health and human services work at the public sector level with the county. And what that showed me is how do you take social services and healthcare needs and really bring them together, which is when I stepped into managing the local hospital, the essential hospital in my community. So I think the public being able to take public policy, practice, social service needs, healthcare needs, and bring them all together is why America's Essential Hospitals feels like coming home to me. It is the blending of all of those passions of how do we make a difference for people in our community, remove barriers, and ultimately get programs working for people versus putting people into programs. And that's always been my passion point.
And it definitely seems hearing that your story, your personal journey is about helping people, which is exactly what essential hospitals are all about, this taking care of the community, taking care of the patients, which is so important, especially these days. So you've been president and CEO for about 5 months now. What have you learned about safety net hospitals, essential hospitals, that you didn't know before?
So I knew what I knew from my experience running a safety net hospital, an academic medical center. What I didn't realize was the national distress that we're seeing across the United States in healthcare. The essential roles that our hospitals play in rushing in and meeting the needs of their community. We see right now an incredible financial pressure changing care in our communities. So in my local market, it was pediatrics getting dropped or closing services, maternal health care access, mental health, addiction. The services when systems were under financial pressure and said they couldn't afford to keep those services open, as an essential hospital, we rushed in to provide that care. And what I see now nationally is that this is a problem. Essential hospitals continue to run in. Mm-hmm. They rush into the fire without the firefighting gear to help them weather that storm. So the reason others drop those service levels is because the revenue doesn't cover the cost more often than not. So it becomes unmanageable to continue that. Well, essential hospitals, because of their mission, rush in and provide it anyway. And so that's what my first aha was, how much distress those systems are in because they're following their mission, they're committed to their communities, and yet the infrastructure of healthcare isn't supporting them making ends meet. And I saw that nationally as a real crisis coming our way.
Yeah. And you might talk about the gear they need to function for essential hospitals. What does America's essential hospitals bring to the table when it comes to that, to making sure that essential hospitals are taken care of, to making sure that the foundational piece of our healthcare system is secure and supported?
I think the biggest answer to that, James, is alignment. It's a voice, it's amplification, and above all, it's about bringing the solutions forward. So none of us can change this huge infrastructure of healthcare alone. But what we can do is align our voices, make sure we're telling the story, we're amplifying the narrative, we're making sure that the general public, our voters, that really are who our legislators rely on to make decisions, understand those essential hospitals. As somebody who's multiple of my family members have needed an essential hospital at some point in their lives, and I as a loved one am so grateful those hospitals were there to treat and take care of my family members. What I think we find is that we need a voice. We need one voice that is aligned, that is leaning in together and making sure the necessary change that we need to see in healthcare is happening. I think America's Essential Hospitals helps the invisible heroes that are in all of our communities be seen. So many people think essential hospitals are there for some. Essential hospitals are there for everyone. They are often the hyperbaric chambers, the burn centers, the trauma centers, the teaching, job opportunities, and workforce that your child may need in order to enter into healthcare. Like, they are truly essential. And what we don't do enough of is making sure that we're amplifying that narrative and that that's a common narrative. And then above all, I think America's Essential Hospitals comes in with solutions. So we don't want lawmakers who this isn't their calling, their profession. We want the people that really know healthcare and know what communities need to help devise those solutions. And so where America's Essential Hospitals, I think, can play a critical role is by doing that problem solving, watching for unintended consequences, mm-hmm. and helping devise healthcare for the future.
You talk about solutions. What are some of the solutions that we can use and kind of bring to Congress's attention to make sure that this foundational aspect of healthcare is preserved?
There's a lot of them. And I would say one recent one is we did a reintroduction of designation language for America's Essential Hospitals. And that designation language is if we define who those firefighters are right now, that's one way we give them gear. We can define them. We can provide solutions for them. And a couple of examples for where we needed that definition in the past. One is COVID. We know that essential hospitals took some of the harder hits because the communities they serve didn't always have the means to shelter in place and to do the many things that others were doing to respond to COVID. We also know disproportionate impacts of healthcare being necessary. So I would say the big thing that we saw in COVID was we needed to know who they were so we could support those essential hospitals, and we didn't have it defined. Another example would be whether it's a medication shortage or a supply chain shortage. Mm-hmm. We've seen those across the nation over the past several years, and we will expect to see more of those. A good example of that in my own community was the saline shortages. As a trauma one hospital, I was worried about the next helicopter that may land with a burn patient. And if I didn't have enough saline, we wouldn't be able to provide the safe quality of care that we knew that individual needed. Whereas down the road, somebody was doing athlete rehydration using that same critical supply. If with a definition, you can get the right people to the front of the line when we have those crises points, during a crisis, you don't have a chance to define it. We want it defined now, so that we can help provide the solutions when we hit those crisis points into the future.
And you talk about crisis points. We're barely into the new year, and there's just a host of issues affecting healthcare, and especially essential hospitals. Could you take a few moments to talk about some of the challenges we're facing as a sector, as well as the opportunities?
Absolutely. So I'll start with the challenges, though I get much more excited about the opportunities as an optimist. The challenges, I would say, three really big ones. One is fiscal instability. Another is access and closing the care gaps. And a third one is the public policy and the rapid change right now in public policy. So the fiscal instability, you know, I think it's well known we've got an affordability issue in healthcare. Costs for supplies, for medications, for workforce are all increasing at a pace that is going faster than the revenue. So that financial instability means you need to start rationing services, reducing services. We have to get more creative where those dollars can go.
Absolutely.
So that is a real challenge that we need to solve for. The access and closing care gaps, I can't emphasize enough. We have a nation that is focused right now on early intervention. Let's make America healthy again. That making America healthy again is about prevention, early intervention, preventing chronic disease. However, if we're seeing less access to care and the shrinking of care because we don't have the financial stability, what you see is we're going to see more people in crisis. It is going to cost us more as a nation. It's not smarter healthcare. It's healthcare by cuts. And the third one, I think, is those policy changes. And the big thing with that is we want to make sure that we're not nibbling around the edges and chasing the crisis of the moment. So when policy changes, operations need to change and adjust. If we are focused as a nation in policy changes versus redefining healthcare, I think that's a challenge. Because ultimately, I believe we need to focus on what do we want healthcare to look like for the future, and that's where our time and energy should be spent.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of challenges, but now to the brighter side, the opportunities.
So, yes, I appreciate this space. It is the problem solving, and I'm a firm believer that I do believe we as a nation have enough money in healthcare. How we're using that money, where it's getting put, is likely our biggest opportunity. It is how do we make sure less money is going to the administrative functions of healthcare? How do we get more dollars at the end of the day to that patient experience, to the interaction of driving healthcare? Those are the results and the outcomes we need as a nation. So there's some significant opportunity to get more dollars focused on healthcare, eliminate waste, eliminate administrative burdens and bureaucracy, and really pivot some of the innovations and the technologies to make a smarter healthcare system. And with essential hospitals being so mission and community focused, they are incredibly well positioned to know what is needed. How do we get there? And they're pretty darn scrappy. So I think they've got some, I know we've seen, they've got some great solutions to be able to help us devise what does healthcare need to look like.
And to stay on a more kind of optimistic trend, I know you've been doing a lot of traveling end of last year into this year and seeing members across the country. Can you share some of the inspiration you take from seeing healthcare in action?
Absolutely. As we talk as a nation, as hard and sometimes depressing as healthcare can be, you walk into America's essential hospitals and you see incredible smiles and teamwork and collaboration. You just see the mission, the heart and the mind coming together in America's Essential Hospitals, where truly they are representing their communities, what their community needs, and bending over backwards to make sure that they meet those needs. And so it is incredibly inspiring. As a former CEO operating a healthcare system, I know my toughest days, I'd go for a walk in the hallways. And you see the personalities, the people that are making a difference in lives every single day, focused on healthcare. And that's absolutely what I see as I go visit our hospitals and healthcare systems. They're innovating, they're leaning in, and they are truly making a difference.
Now, we've talked a little bit about specific challenges, opportunities facing essential hospitals. But obviously, essential hospitals are, they're a foundational part, but they're part of the overall healthcare system. Are there any bigger issues that you think need to be addressed this year that affect healthcare for everyone?
I think it is, that prudent use of federal dollars, state dollars, local dollars. Can we get lower drug costs? Can we get lower supply costs? Can we create systems of care, have ecosystems where we know we're closing the gaps together so it's not just the firefighters running in when there's a fire, but how do we truly create ecosystems of healthcare that are working smarter and better for the nation?
And I know it's going to be a busy rest of the year. Do you have any kind of parting words for us for healthcare as a whole as we enter into 2026?
I'm looking forward to getting further into 2026. I think we have a huge opportunity to reset healthcare, and that mission-driven essential hospitals are well positioned to do just that. I think the risk is we can't cut our way to making America healthy again, but we can intentionally focus and build the healthcare system that our communities need so we're there when they need us most, and essential hospitals can get that done.
And essential hospitals are so foundational. It's so important. And thank you so much for coming onto the podcast to talk about what is a very, very critical issue.
Thank you. I appreciate the time and helping us amplify the message.
That's what we're going for. Thanks so much.
Thank you.